This recording, New Zealand 13, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough and Barbara Somerville.
But here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinarian nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the Territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge and checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for her name. Comma was a strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administrated ether. The efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped off with a cloth and laid her on the right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis almost immediately. She remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for the cure. I'm from Pukekohe. It's south of Auckland, and south of Auckland is pretty much the drunge. But my Pukekohe in Botany, which is close to me as well, is the nice part. Pukekohe is becoming really quite fancy at the moment because it's out of Auckland and it's sort of countryish, but it's so close to Auckland, like travelling times and stuff. So a lot of big Auckland people are moving out of there and coming to Puke. And like Katie, we have lots of Maldives and lots of like Pacific Asians, and our schools are highly populated by them, and they're just all around the community, especially in other towns of South Auckland. Like Otara is just, you just don't see white people, and I'm not being racist, it's just a Polynesian district. And while Pukekohe, I'd say, is more, it's more European, but we're starting to get a lot of English people coming in there just because we need more cops in the area and they're coming over. Pukekohe is a big growing thing. We grow lots of potatoes and onions. Because of that, we also have lots of Indians, so I think that's where it sparked my interest of India. No, I really want to go, and I was going to be going in September if I didn't get accepted into this course. So I'm not going now, but that's okay because I'm here. So I love shopping, which is such an Aucklander thing to say, but I love shopping and I love taking other people shopping and shopping for them, but with their money, of course. I love styling people. I love sewing and I love acting, so it was kind of made sense to put them two together into a costume course. I think the thing I love about clothing in general is that it can really identify somebody. I mean, everybody puts their own personal touch into their clothing, whether they know it or not. I mean, you're going to go into a store, you're not going to pick up the first thing you see. You're going to look at it and go, oh yeah, that attracts the eye. So even if you did just pick it up, it's still attracting you in some way. So it's going, oh yeah, that's me. You're not going to pick up the ugliest thing you think in the store. So I think just the style it can create within clothes and the differences in culture and people from different areas as well. So that's very cool.
I know, what pisses me off? People who try to control me. I hate people who are really, really overbearing on me, and I just just want to, like, tell them to just... Can I swear?
Sure.
Just want to tell them to fuck off, you know? Just leave me alone. You're not my mother. Mm-hmm. And it's... Yeah, it just... I like to do my own thing. I'm very individual, and I hate... Even when I'm buying clothes, I hate buying things that's like, oh, everybody's going to have that top, or everybody has those shoes. I refuse to buy them just because it's like, oh, I really don't want to look the same as everybody else. And I think that's why I hate... I mean, I don't mind teachers telling me what to do because I'm learning from them, but it's other people telling me just because they feel like it, not because, you know, they're trying to teach me something. But, yeah, that really annoys me. South Auckland slang is very, whatever, bro,
ow.
But that's like sort of what the Maldives and the Samoans use rather to me, but ow's just like a person, and it's very much white chick. Like, I have a lot of friends who are Samoan, and we'd always joke a bit like, I was the white chick. It's very like, very lazy language, what they use. Always just what you call somebody, it's like, oi, come here.